today's Shiur Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Ayin Vav. We will begin on Daf Ayin Hei Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Leim Kahani Tanoi. To help frame our Shiur, we've learned many times that in order for a transaction to be considered consummated, a kinyan is required. The Mishnah Masechta Kedushin, we'll discuss this a little more later in our Shiur today, teaches us that karka, property, is niktas b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka. We also have learned that metaltlin, movable items, there are primarily three forms of kinyan for movable for metaltlin. There's kinyan hagbor, there's kinyan meshicha, and there's kinyan mesira. As we will learn in our shiur, it's quite clear that kinyan hagbor is the most preferable form of kinyan. However, kinyan hagbor is not always practically doable, and that's when meshicha and mesira become viable forms of kinyan. As we discussed at the end of the previous year, there's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, how is meshicha done? Where Rav, the Gemara spoke about a boat, a ship, being sold, bought, and Rav said even a minimal meshicha is considered adequate. And Shmuel said, no. In order for Mashiach to be considered valid, you have to have Atch Yimshech Es Kuloi. You have to do a Mashiach on the entire length of the boat. Suggest the Gemara, Lema Kani Tanoi. Perhaps this Machloikas of Rav and Shmuel, which we just quoted, is actually a subject of a Machloikas Tanom. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Svina Niknas V'Mashiach. A svina can be a kinyan on a svina is through meshicha. Rav Nosson Omer, svina v'oisyois niknois v'meshicha. Svina and oisyois. What does oisyois mean? Oisyois means if I sell a shtar, very commonly done. I sell accounts receivable. You owe me money, and there's a document indicating that you owe me the money. You only owe me the money in 6 months, in a year, whatever. But I need the cash today. So there's a business of selling receivables, of selling shtaris. We're probably at a discount. I sell this receivable to someone else. He gives me cash today, and now he owns this receivable. Actually, it's machlokes hapoiskim. If the kinyan of the mechira of shtaris is valid midoraisa, or is it only valid midrabonin? Not specifically very relevant to today's shiur. So Rav Nosson says, Svina, if you do a kinyan on a ship, or Oisius, if you do a kinyan on a shtar, niknas b'meshicha b'meshtar. You have to have a meshicha done, and a shtar has to be written. That means if I'm selling you the shtar, you're buying the shtar, besides that you have to do meshicha on the shtar, you the buyer have to do meshicha on the shtar, we also have to write a document indicating the sale of the shtar from me to you. Before we go further, the Rishonim and Achronim ask the obvious question. If we began today's shiur saying that everybody agrees that hagbor is the most preferable method of kinyan on metaltlin, why is our Gemara saying that a shtar, we do meshicha? Shouldn't we do hagbor? So, there are really two ways how the Rishonim approach this question. Some Rishonim take a practical approach to why it's not acceptable, and some take a lomdasha approach. First we'll speak about the practical approach. Some Rishonim explain that our Gemara is not, our Braisa, Gemara, is not speaking about one individual shtar. Certainly the way to do a kinyan on one individual shtar would be with a hagbah. We're referring to this where an entire bag, entire sack of shtaris are being sold, where it's physically difficult, impossible to do hagbah, and therefore Mashiach, as I said earlier, where Hagbah can be done, that's where Mashiach Masira are done. It's a little difficult teretz, because how heavy is a bag of shtaris? Another practical teretz that the Rishonim suggest is, what does Hagbah mean? Hagbah means that I'm buying an item that has a place, and I'm lifting it from its designated place. In other words, if I'm buying this tape recorder, the designated place for this tape recorder is on the table, and what Hagbah means that I'm lifting it, one tefach, three tefachim, but I'm lifting it from its designated place. A shtar is not really an item that we could consider having a designated place, and therefore Hagbah isn't a valid kinyan by shtars. Those were the practical answers. The lamdash answers, and the most commonly used answer by the Rishonim, is that a shtar is different than almost any other type of metalin that one will buy or sell. What do I mean? When I sell you a tape recorder, when I sell you metalin, a tape recorder has intrinsic value. It's a tape recorder. Whereas when I sell you a shtar, the shtar itself, that piece of paper, has really no intrinsic value. The value of a shtar is that it represents a debt. It represents a loan. But it itself doesn't have any intrinsic value. When we said that Hagbah is the most preferred method of kinyan by metatlin, that was in a situation when the metatlin itself have intrinsic value. Here we're talking about shtar that doesn't in its own have intrinsic value. There the din that Hagbah is the most preferable form of kinyan doesn't apply. Another teretz that Rishonim suggests is that when Al Gemara speaks about Mashiachah, Mesira by shtar, what the Gemara really means is Hagbah. Even though it's hard to understand that teretz, because the Gemara should have called it Hagbah. Ask the Gemara, Isis Mandachar Shemayu. The Braisa that we just quoted began discussing Sfina. How do you do a Kinyan and a Sfina? That was what the Tanakhama was discussing. Rav Nosson all of a sudden starts speaking about Oisius, about how you do a Kinyan and a shtar. Ask the Gemara, Oisius Mandachar Shemayu. We weren't talking about Oisius. Answers the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Chasuri mechser v'achtani. Sfina nicknas for Mashiachah. Sfina, you could do a Mashiachah on. Oisius, you do a Kinyan Mesira on. Rav Nosson Oimer, that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Nosson Oimer, Sfina v'Oisius nicknas for Mashiachah u'bishtar. In order to do a kinyan on a sfina, or to do a kinyan on a shtar, you have to have a combination of mashiachah and shtar. Ask the Rishonim, obvious question. We're amending, we're modifying what the Tanakhama says. And we're adding into the Tanakhama that the Tanakhama is not only speaking about sfina, he's also speaking about a shtar. And we're saying that the Tanakhama says that how is a shtar nikna? Through Mesira. Ask the Rishonim, fine. We're going to add into the Tanakhama these words, that he's also speaking about a shtar. But why are we saying that he's speaking about a Kinyan Mesira? Why don't we say he's speaking about a Kinyan Mashiachah? We should have said, Oishis b'Mashiachah. Why are we saying b'Mesira? So there are a number of terutzim, very important terutzim, in helping us understand the Gemara. One terutz is based on a very fundamental Machloikus Rishonim. There's a Machloikus Rishonim. I said earlier that Hagbah is certainly the most preferred method of kinyan by metaltlin. But what's number two and what's number three? Mesira or Mashiachah? It's Machlokes Rishonim. Machlokes Rashi ben Reina Tam. There are Rishonim that say Mesira is preferable. There are Rishonim that hold the Mashiachah is preferable. So according to the opinions that hold that Mesira is preferable over Mashiachah, it's very understandable. We prefer to do Mesira because Mesira is a better type of kinyan than Mashiachah. There's a third opinion that says there are two forms of Mesira. I alluded to this in the previous year. One form of Mesira is where it goes directly from my hand, from the seller's hands, to the buyer's hands. That Mesira is better than Mashiachah. Then we have a Mesira where it's not exactly going from my hands to your hands, which just you're picking it up at my instruction. Then Mashiachah is better than Mesira. Third opinion. It's one teretz. A second teretz of why the Tana, the Gemara says that Oisius will done be Mesira. Why should we say that Shtar is done by Mashiach? Because the Gemara in a moment is going to quote a Machloikis how Svina is Nikna. Machloikis Rebbe and the Chachamim. Nobody is of the opinion that Shtaris are Nikna. Sorry. Nobody is of the opinion that Shtaris are Nikna with Mesira. So were we to amend this Brisa to say that this Brisa is teaching us that Oisius, that Shtaris are Nikna with Mashiach, we'll be introducing a new opinion. And the Rishonim say that the Gemara, even when it wants to, when it has to amend the Brisa, tries to avoid amending it in a fashion that will introduce a new opinion that we don't have to. So therefore the Gemara prefers to say that Shtaris are Niknas B'Mesira, which there's a precedent for that opinion, versus introducing a new opinion that Shtaris are Niknas B'Mesira, that we don't have such a precedent for such an opinion. Another teretz that the Rashba suggests. Oisius B'Mesira, if we're amending the Brisa, and we're saying, the way we're amending the Brisa is saying like this, Sfina Niknas B'Mesira, and the Brisa leaves out two words, for Oisius B'Mesira. That's very common throughout Shas, says the Rashba. But if what we're going to say is that the way to read the Brisa is that the Brisa is just missing the word Svina v'Oisyois Niknas v'Mashicha, it's highly unlikely that the Brisa would leave that word out, that one word of Oisyois out. And therefore, the Gemara wanted to avoid amending the Brisa that way. One more teretz, similar teretz to what I said earlier in the shir, is that Mesira, Mashicha, is not a valid kinyan on Sfina. On the contrary, it's not a valid kinyan on a shtar. Why? Similar to what I said earlier in the shir. Just like I said that Hagbah is not a valid kinyan on a shtar, because Hagbah is only a valid kinyan on something that has an intrinsic value, and a shtar doesn't have intrinsic value. Say to Rishonim, the Mashiach and Hagbah work in the same way. And therefore, just like Hagbah isn't effective, as I said earlier, according to some Rishonim, so too Mashiach is not effective. That's why the Gemara had to amend the Brisa, saying that the way to do a kinyan on a shtar is with Mesira. Rav Nosson, however, says, Oisyois, sin of Oisyois, nicknas from Mashiach and Mashtar. You have to have a combination of Mashiach and Shtar. Ask the Gemara, how can we explain Rav Nosson holding this way? Shtar is Svina Lomeli, Matatlihu. And the way to Rishonim explain, the Gemara has, this is a twofold question. Number one, why should you need to do more than just Mashiach in being Kaina Svina? As I said at the beginning of our shir, Mashiach is a completely legitimate form of Kinyan and Metaltlin. So why does it need a shtar? One question. The other question that the Gemara is asking, explain the Rishonim, is also something we said at the beginning of our shir. Shtar is not a valid method of Kinyan or Metaltlin, I said. It's only by Karka. So ask the Gemara, what's the use of a shtar when you're being Kinyan Metaltlin? Why is shtar indeed not a valid kinyan on metaltlin? So I saw two explanations in the Rishonim. One explanation in the Rishonim is that shtar is only a valid kinyan on something that has very clear borders. A piece of property has very clear borders. Metaltlin don't have clear borders. Shtar is only valid on something that has clear borders. Another teretz is that the Torah speaks about shtar being a valid kinyan only by karka. We expand it, the Gemara Masechet Kedushin, to anything that's compared to Karka, Avodim. But Metaltlin are not compared to Metaltlin, and therefore, Shtar is not a valid Kinyan for Metaltlin. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, how could Rav Nosson say that you have to have a Shtar for Svina? Says the Gemara, Lav Hochtani. This is the way we have to interpret the Brisa. Svina, Niknas, the Mashicha. Mashicha works for Svina. Oisius, a shtar, according to the Tanna Kamma, is done with Mesira. Rav Nosson Omer, that's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Rav Nosson Omer, Svina b'Mashicha. Svina is done by Mashicha. For Oisius, But his opinion is that to be do a kinyan on a shtar, you have to have on top of the mesira also a shtar. Ask the Rishonim here too. Maybe the way to understand Rav Nosson is that he means to say, not like I just said, that osius are nikna with a combination of mesira and shtar. Maybe he means to say that osius are nikna b'shtar alone. Answer the Rishonim, similar to what I said a moment ago. We're going to quote a brayse in a moment. Machloikis, Rebbe and Chachamim, how kinyan shtar is affected. There is no opinion that says that kinyan shtar is affected with shtar itself. And therefore, we don't want to introduce a new opinion, and we don't have to. And therefore, the understanding of the Gemara here is that when he says that Osius is b'shtar, it means shtar and mesira together. And the machloikis is that the Tanakhama holds that a shtar is nikna, the mesira alone. Rav Nosson holds you need a combination of mesira and shtar. But according to this, both Rav Nosson and the Tanakhama agree that how is a svina nikna, but mesicha. Ask the Gemara, svina but mesicha, hana Tanakhama. Where do we have a machloikis? They're both agreeing. How must we understand the machloikis? Now we bring the Gemara to full circle. How must we understand the machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rav Nosson regarding svina? Rav Shmuel, ikvanayu. The machloikis is exactly the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel. And this way the Rashbam explains the Gemara. Both of them agree that the way you do a kinyan on a svina is the mashicha. Just the Tanakhama says, you know what mashicha means? A full-fledged mashicha. Like Shmuel said, Malay Kamasai, comes along Reb Nosson, says, no, you don't have to do such a significant Mashiach. A small Mashiach is enough. That's what most Rishonim learn. The other Rishonim, they learn just the opposite. Doesn't really change the Gemara significantly. That's the Tanakhama that says, a minor Mashiach is adequate. And Reb Nosson says, no, a minor Mashiach is not enough. You have to do a full-fledged Mashiach. So, if so, it turns out that the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel is actually a machloikis tanom, the machloikis of Tanakhama Rav Nosson. And as is understood from so many Gemaras that we've learned, that is an untenable situation because a Amoraim wouldn't be repeating a machloikis tanom. Says the Gemara, no, that's not the way to understand the Braisa. The Kul Alma, there is no machloikis between the Tanakhama Rav Nosson regarding the Mashiach of Asfina. They either could agree Ikarav or Kishmul. How Mashiach is done, they either both could agree to Rav's opinion, they both could agree with Shmuel's opinion. And therefore, the Svina Kulam Loi Pligi. There is no Machlaikis how Svina is done. Mashiach. What is Mashiach? Maybe like Rav, maybe like Shmuel. They're not addressing that point. Ki Pligi, their Machlaikis is limited to Oisius. How a Kinyan on Vashtar is done. Vachkam Malay Rav Nosson Tanakhama. And this is the way to understand the dialogue of the Braisa. B'sfina says Rav Nosson to the Tanakhama via the Medina Lach. I agree with you that how is the Kinyan done? B'mashicha. Now the question is Isis, where certainly Mesira must be done, the opinion of the Tanakhama, adds Rav Nosson, I hold that's not enough. E ikishtar in, if coupled with the Mesira, there's a shtar, there will be a valid Kinyan. Eloi, but if there is no shtar along with the Mesira Loi, then it's not going to be valid Kinyan. Why? Why does Rav Nosson require a shtar together with the Mesira? Explain the Rishonim. Because although, and it's highly unlikely, and we're going to discuss it at the end of the shiur, that if I'm buying a shtar, I'm not buying it because I need a piece of paper, it could be argued that is the purpose of the Kinyan. The way to show that I'm not just buying it because I want to buy a piece of paper, but because I want to buy the debt that the shtar represents, is that on top of the mesira, we also have a shtar. That, says Rav Nosson, is the only proof that that was my goal and my intention with this kinyan. And says the Gemara, this actually is a machloikis tanom. The Tanya, Oysa Niknas from Mesira Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe's opinion is that that shtar is nicknamed with Mesira alone. The Chomayim, Ben Kosav Veloy Mosav, Ben Mosav Veloy Kosav, if you have a shtar with no Mesira, or you have no shtar but you have Mesira, Lekana at sheyichta v'yimsa. Makes the Rashbam a very interesting observation. In the braisa that the Gemara began with today, the opinion of the Tanakama is called Rebbe. Is really Rebbe. Here it's called Chachamim and here it's called Rebbe. And in this braisa, the opinion of Reb Nosson is the opinion of Rebbe. The opinion of Reb Nosson is called Chachamim. So we have a very interesting situation. In one braisa, Rebbe's opinion is called the opinion of the Chachamim, the first braisa. And in one braisa, the opinion of Reb Nosson is called the opinion of Chachamim. Says the Rashbam, he says a historical fact. Rebbe and Reb Nosson were the last of the Tanoim. And they heard what all the previous Tanoim had said prior to them. And therefore they're both qualified to be called Chachamim because they were the last Tanoim and were making the final decisions. One more point the Rishonim make. I make more than one more point. We'll only mention one more point. They ask, in this braisa that we just read, where we learn the opinion of Chachamim, which is also actually, as I just said, the opinion of Reb Nosson, that to do a kinyan on a shtar, you have to have a combination of Mesira and a shtar. If we read the words, we just read the words, the braisa is very long. The braisa should have said, Lekana, Chiyachta V'yimsur. Why does it have to say, Ben Kosav Le'masav, Ben Masav Le'kosav? Why do we need that entire lengthy introduction? So I saw two terutzim in the Rishonim. One teretz in the Rishonim is that the braisa is trying to teach us, don't make the mistake that a shtar is enough to affect the kinyan. Of course you have to have the mesira also. One teretz. Another teretz that I saw, and actually there are two versions of this teretz, is according to Reb Nosson, the opinion of the Chacham of this braisa, you have to have mesira and a shtar. But is there an order that has to be followed? So most Rishonim suggest there's a very specific order. First you do the Mesira, which gives you ownership of the piece of paper, and then you do the Shtar. And that's the lesson of this Braisa. You have to have Mesira and a Shtar, but a specific order has to be followed. First the Mesira, and then the Shtar. Other Rishonim say that you have to have a specific order, but the order is just the opposite. First the Shtar, and then the Mesira. Ask the Gemara, B'maya Kimta, Karebi, you just explained that this braisa follows the opinion of Rebbe. Ask the Gemara, if so, why does the braisa? And we said a moment ago that everybody's in agreement with this. That Sfina is nikna b'mashicha. Why isn't Sfina nikna b'mesira? Sfina nami nikna b'mesira. Just like mesira is a valid kinyan for shtar, it should be a valid kinyan for Sfina. Specifically, if we're going to follow the opinion, which I said is not everybody's opinion, but it's Rebbeinu Tam's opinion, that Mesira is a preferable kinyan over Mashicha. Ask the Gemara, why shouldn't we do a kinyan Mesira? Why is the Braisa teaching us, and there's no machlokes about this, that the way to do a kinyan on Sfina is a Mashicha? The Tanya, the Sfina Niklas and Mesira Divi Rebbe. The Chomayim, Loikana, Achim Shchana, Achim Eskav Mekaymai. So why, if we're following the opinion of Rebbe, and especially if it's the better form of kinyan, does the braisa say that the kinyan should be done with mashicha on a sfina? Why not mesira? Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Can b'shus a rabbim? Can b'simta? Yes. Mashicha, mesira works for a sfina. Where does Mesira work for Mesira? Where does Mesira work for a Sfina? In Rishus Rabbim. Why in Rishus Rabbim? Because Mashicha is not an effective means of Kinyan in a Rishus Rabbim. And since it's not an effective means of Kinyan, and I'll explain why in a moment, since it's not an effective means of Kinyan in a Rishus Rabbim, that's why in that braisa teaches us Rebbe, how will you do the kinyan on the sfina? The mesira. But where it's a simta, where it's a private area, where mashicha, where mashicha is an option, mashicha should be done. Why? So again, if we follow the opinion, I'm sorry, I keep on jumping back and forth, that Mashicha is a preferable form of Kinyan, it's very understandable. Because wherever Mashicha is an option, do Mashicha. If, however, we're going to say Masir is a preferable form of Kenyan, so why does the Gemara say that we're dealing with a Rishus Rabbim? When we're dealing with a Simta, do Mashicha, why not do Masira? If we hold Masira as a better form of Kenyan, explain the Rishonim that Masira is not an option in a private place. Because what does Masira mean? That I'm taking it from my place to your place. But if it's a Simta, it's as much my place after I give it to you than before I give it to you. And therefore Masira is not an option in a Simta. And therefore, even if we'll learn that Masira is a preferable form of Kenyan, I can't do Masira, I have to do Mashicha. So again, let's learn the Gemara again. Kamber Shus Rabim, Inner Shus Rabim, where Mashicha is not an option, we'll do Masira. Kamber Simta, where Masira may not be an option, we'll do Masira. Ask the Gemara. B'maya Kemta, Lahabis Raisa. So how do we explain this second Raisa that said we should do Masira? It's referring to Rishus HaRabim. Since it's referring to Rishus HaRabim, we can't do Mashicha, we're going to do Masira. Says the Gemara, if that's how we're going to explain this Braisa, Ema Seifa, let's continue learning that Braisa. The Braisa continues saying, the Chacham Oymim Loikana Achim Shechana. The Chacham say, no, you have to do Mashicha. Ask the Gemara, if we're explaining that this price is Rishus HaRabim, how can you do Mashicha? Mashicha means that I'm taking it, you're schlepping it, Mashicha means to pull, to schlep. You're schlepping it from my Rishus to your Rishus. But if it's Rishus HaRabim, it can never be my Rishus. I mean, man Oiger. And as the Rishonim explain, a Simta could be a Simta that I have a right to use privately. Or, even if I don't have a right to use privately, a simta is owned by the people whose mavui open to the simta. So it's a very finite group of individuals. The people who own mavuis, that own alleyways opening up to the simta. So I have the ability to buy that, to rent that area. Rishus HaRabim is owned by the whole world. You can't become an owner of Rishus HaRabim. And if Pshat of Mashiach means that it has to be pulled by the buyer from the seller's Rishus, How do Chacham suggest that Mashiach should be done? Mashiach is impossible. Rishus HaRabim. How do we understand what the Chacham say? Furthermore, Su Mashiach Rishus HaRabim Kanya, like I said, that's not an option. V'abayev Rav Amri Tavayu Masira Koinem Rishus HaRabim U'v'chotzer Sheinu Shal Shneim Mashiach Koinem B'chtsimta U'v'chotzer Shish Shal Shneim. So how do Rabbanan suggest it was saying that this price is referring to Rishus HaRabim, that Mashicha should be done. Mashicha can't be done by Rishus HaRabim. Harba can become Makam. Harba, as I said so many times, is the best form. Answers the Gemara. May Achim Shechena Nami the Kamar. We have to reinterpret. When the Chacham said that Mashicha should be done, and we're explaining that this price is talking about a Rishus HaRabim, May Achim Shechena Nami the Kamar, or May Achim Yiskas Mekayim the Kamar, what does it mean when the Chacham says at Shiyiskus Mekaymer Hachikamer at Shem Shivchenem Rishus Rab Masimta? Absolutely right, says the Gemara. When the Chacham say the Mashicha should be done, they don't mean that Mashicha should be done within the Rishus Rabim. Mashicha and Rishus Rabim is not an option. It's not a viable form of Kenyan. What they mean to say is schlep it all the way from Rishus Rabim up to a Simta. V'Rishus Balam Hi, and if we're conducting this business in a place that's owned by the seller, how will I, the buyer, ever be able to do Mashicha? Says the one that's the only way to do it. You, the seller of the item, who also own this area where this kinyan is taking place, will have to rent to me a designated spot in this area that's mine, and now I could do Mashicha. Ask the Gemara. Lema Abaye V'Rava Dom Karebi. So Abaye and V'Rava, who say that Masira, so let's review what we're learning now. We're learning that this Braisa, that's quoted at the last line of Amud Aleph, top line of Amud Beis, is referring to Rishus HaRabim. And there's a Machloikis Rebbe and the Chachamim, what should you do when you're being Koina Sfina in a Rishus HaRabim? Rebbe's opinion is that since Mashiach, as we have explained, is not an option, do Mesira. Rabbanan say, no, do Mashiach. Or Visoich Mekayim, figure it out. Now we just quoted a moment ago Abaye Verava, who also said that in Rosh Hashanah do Mesira, and in the Simtah, Rosh Hashanah do Mashiach. So whose opinion is that? Rebbe's opinion. So the Gemara's question is, it seems that Abaye and Rava are abandoning the opinion of the Chachamim and are following Rebbe's lead, who distinguishes between a Shusarabim and a Simta, Shusarabim do Mesira, and a Simta do Mashiach, which is difficult to understand. That why would Abaye and Rava follow the opinion of Rebbe versus following the opinion of the Chachamim? Ask the Gemara. Lame Abaye and Rava Damak Rebbe. Amar Ravashi says no, Ravashi. Id Amar Lei Chazek V'Kni. If we're referring to a buyer and a seller, and the buyer and seller are conducting business in the Rishus HaRabim, where Mashiach is not an option, everybody agrees that Hachinami, a buyer, Rava, Rebbe, and the Chachamim all agree that what should you do? Mesira. What is the situation here? That when the buyer and seller were conducting the business of selling this boat, the words that were used were Lech Mesheich V'Kni. And now we have a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, how to interpret the words Lech Mesheich V'Kni. Ma'asava K'peida. The Rabbanan hold, he used the word Mashiach. He means specifically Mashiach. And therefore, the only option, as we explained a moment ago, is to figure out a way how to do Mashiach, even though the ship is located in a Rosh Hashanah. And what's the way to do it? By schlepping the boat from the Rosh Hashanah into a Simta. Because you use the word Mashiach. Omar Sover, and Rebbe's opinion, is that even though the word Mashiach was used, It doesn't mean that Mashiach, you have to do Mashiach. He was just giving him an example, Maramokamulai. He was just giving him an example how Mashiach can be done. How Kenya can be done. He isn't suggesting that you must do Mashiach. Mesira is also an option. And therefore, since here, in the Rosh Hashanah, Mashiach can't be done, says Rebbe, do Mesira. But of course, everybody agrees that in Rosh Hashanah, where you don't have this problem of how to interpret his words, Mesira could be done. Now, could be done, should be done, because Mashiach is not an option. Ask the Mefarshim, Rishonim asked this question. If we're saying that the opinion of the Rabbanan in this Braisa, that we're interpreting the Braisa about referring to a very specific situation, where the words Lech Mashiach V'Kni were used. And according to Rabbanan, since the words Lech Mashiach V'Kni were used, the only way of doing a Kinyan is Makbid. He has to do Mashiach. So ask the Gemara, why did Rabbanan give us another form? Achiyiskus Mekaymai. Why is the Yiskus Mekaymai an option? He used the words Mashiach. And according to Rabbanan, Mashiach means Mashiach and strictly Mashiach. So what is the Braisa? Let's look at the top words of the Amid. Achiyiskus Mekaymai. How does that become an option? How does Achiyiskus Mekaymai become an option? Answer the Rishonim, a very interesting teretz. It's similar to a concept that we've been working with. There are certain kinyanim that are so strong and are so powerful that it doesn't make a difference what's being done. And therefore, they explain that even though the words Lech Mashiach V'Kni were used, and that, according to Rabbanan, exclude the possibility of doing a Kinyan Mesira, because as we've been learning, Kinyan Mesira is a weak type of Kinyan. And therefore, Mashiach was specified, Mesira no longer is an option. But Kinyan Chotzer, of the Yiskres Mekaymai, given that such a form, strong form of Kinyan, such a good Kinyan that even though it wasn't what was said, the Rabbanan will agree will be acceptable. One more nice fart. We look Parashas Masai, where we have the conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain. Always bothered me. Moshe Rabbeinu and the Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain have a very serious discussion how they will take ownership of their portion in the Eiver HaYarden. If we learn the Pasha, we look in the Chumash, there's a lot of redundancy. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Gidrit Tzoyin, you build places for your sheep, you build homes, and then you'll go to war. And they repeat that they'll do it. And the question is, why do I have to go into all the detail? The detail's there. Obviously, the rules were set. Say the Mefarshim, that pasuk is teaching us the opinion of Chachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a very clear form how to do the kinyan. It's a form of kinyan chazaka. And they said, if you stipulate how the kinyan should be done, we're following the opinion of Chachamim. And the opinion of Chachamim is that when the form of kinyan is stipulated, you can't deviate. And therefore they said, if order for our kinyan to be effective, we're going to do exactly as you said. Because if we don't do exactly as you said, the Chachamim say the kinyan will be void. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, Hai man de mazmin shtar l'chavrei, tzorch l'michtav lei, k'nei v'kol shabudu debay. The Rishonim frame Rapapa's din in two ways. The simple way of understanding Rapapa is the Rapapa agrees with the opinion of Rav Nosson. The Rav Nosson said, and also the opinion of Chachamim in the second Braisa, that a Kenyan shtar requires both Mesira and a shtar. And now Rapapa is teaching us, when you're writing the shtar in a Kenyan shtar, what should be the verbiage of that shtar? That's the simple way of learning the Gemara. However, other Rishonim say the Rapapa is not getting involved with that question. And Rapapa is not necessarily paskening like Reb Nosson that you have to have a shtar written. But you do have to be very clear, says Rapapa, when you sell a shtar, to spell out what is being included. And if you want it not just to be that you're selling, as I said earlier in the shiur, a piece of paper, but you're also really selling the debt, the obligation that this shtar represents, you have to spell it out. And therefore, says the Papa, Hai man de mazmol shtar l'chavrei, tzorch l'michtar l'knev hu v'kol shibudi debay. Om Rav Ashi, Amrita l'shmatzik ha-meder of Kahana, I said this din over to Rav Kahana, v'amrit le, and he's commented, tam de kosvoy hachi. The only reason that the shtar is considered a completely properly sold is because these words were added. Had this not been included, the buyer would not become the owner of this debt. Ask the Gemara, why not? Why would I buy a shtar from you if I'm not buying the debt? If am I just buying it to use as a bottle cap, I need to buy your shtar that people owe you money to use as a bottle cap. I'm like, in. Lotzer, absolutely. Unless I could effectively prove, that that wasn't the intent of the sale, hamaitzi mechaver ol varaya, and you could argue that all you bought, that all you sold me was the piece of paper, not the debt that this piece of paper represents. But now the Rishonim have an obvious question. Let's say I buy a piece of paper from you to use as a bottle cap. How much is that piece of paper worth? Not too much. Here we have a shtar. And probably if you're doing business and buying receivables, we could be talking about big money. So let's think about it. There's a shtar for $1 million. A debt, a receivable of $1 million. So as I said at the beginning of the year, I'll buy it at a discount. I'll get it for $800,000. Would somebody spend $800,000 for a bottle cap? So obviously, shouldn't the price I paid be a clear indication that I wasn't just buying a bottle cap? Why does the Gemara paskin that the only way I could effectively say that I was buying the debt is if the words "Hu v'kol shibudid gabei" were used? So I saw three approaches in the Rishonim. The Rashbam's approach is absolutely. There are two separate questions going on. One question is what is included in the sale? And if the words "Hu v'kol shibudid gabei" aren't used, then all I bought is a bottle cap. I spent $800,000 for a bottle cap, so now the din of Aynor, of overpaying, kicks in. That's one teretz. That's one approach, the Rashbam's approach. Another approach that the Rishonim say, very similar approach, is that absolutely, what's going to happen here is there's going to be a mekach tos. the deal will be voided, because obviously the whole thing is a fraud. But I don't want to void the deal, says the Gemara. Since the words of Kol Shebut Debei weren't used, the deal is voided. You're going to have to give me back my money, but I don't get the receivable. A third approach, which we'll discuss more Mitzvashem tomorrow's shiur on top of Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, is that the Gemara suggests a very new concept. Where do we say the din of Einor, that something was, obviously there was something wrong here? Where do we say the concept of Bittul Mekach? In a situation where the seller could have gotten away with this overcharging. Yes, you charge. We always say that what is Einor more than a sixth? So you charge me a seventh, an eighth more than the price. So some people could get duped into that deal. But nobody is going to pay $800,000 for bowel cap. If I paid $800,000 for bowel cap, it must be because I really wanted to give you a gift. And therefore, you could the seller could successfully argue, according to these Rishonim, you paid $800,000 for bowel cap if you didn't use the words who of course Shebut Debei. Why would you spend $800,000 for bowel cap? Because you wanted to give me a gift.